Matthew Ferentz describes Appalachian North as a geological, cultural, and a personal journey. It's a memoir. In the book, he talks about how it wasn't until he was a graduate student at West Virginia University that he realized he was Appalachian. His book explores why his family and friends never identified with the region. Ferentz also describes his diagnosis with a brain tumor, which becomes an analogy for the exploration into his roots.
That was the first inkling for that part of the book, is what does it mean to be from north of the Mason-Dixon line, but still fully Appalachian? And then the other part of it was the medical trauma recovery narrative, which was my diagnosis with a brain tumor and surgery and radiation. And in thinking about this book, so I was actually trying to write the former book after I'd recovered and not thinking about writing a memoir about my brain. But that kept wanting to be told as a story. And I realized that figuratively thinking about erosion and geology and the rocks that make us in a figurative sense work together really well, because both understanding myself as an Appalachian and understanding myself after significant medical setback cause you to rethink who you are.
What surprised you when you were writing the book?
One was geological, and it was in talking to my father, who studied geology for a long time, and he was a conservation biologist by career. And I was asking him about the ancient Appalachian Mountains and how they wore down to become what we live in now. And he said, well, we don't live in the mountains. We live in the old Allegheny Plateau. And so all of our relief in the region is erosion downward from a high plateau instead of a big old mountain that had been worn down through time. And for me, that was a surprise. I hadn't realized that. And I hadn't realized that really a great bulk of Appalachia is in that plateau. And that opened up metaphors for me to completely recalibrate that we're not actually climbing mountains, we're coming out of valleys. And there's a beauty to that.
I thought that was interesting too, talking about the ARC, and that, I mean, to a large degree, the ARC controls everything about Appalachia now. And that was a document created 50 something years ago, and even a completely different mindset in the country at the time.
Right. So, right. And I think what's fascinating in looking through some of those original documents and also the reports that come out periodically is the tropes continue that, essentially talk about, you know, the barefoot, dirty, poverty-stricken child and how this program is helping to improve that. And also the original documents are pretty clear that the way forward, and this actually even predates the ARC documents, that the way forward is the exploitation of the natural resources. So the stories themselves control what we can ever imagine ourselves to be. And the ARC is a wonderful thing, and I think a tremendous success in so many ways. But if we don't interrogate the narrative behind it, then we're kind of at risk of always being victimized.
It strikes me as the classic hero's journey. You know, you've had your inciting incident, and then you were off on your path of self-discovery. Do we get to, at the end of it, do we get to the point where you've had a redemptive moment and completed the hero's journey?
I would say yes and no to that. I mean, I think that's a good way of thinking about the structure of the book or the structure of the reflection I'm working through. For me, that climax of the journey or the destination is mostly a recognition that there isn't a destination, and that and I teach this a lot when I'm talking to students, particularly about memoir, but that we live our lives with this expectation of that hero's journey or the Freytag pyramid of arc. And what we actually often recognize is that life itself doesn't have that kind of pathway.
What do you hope your readers take away from the book?
One thing is for readers who are north of the Mason-Dixon line, who are like me, who grew up Appalachian and not knowing it, I want them to recognize and embrace the culture that they are, so that they can be part of that. And then for fellow Appalachians south of the Mason-Dixon line, I hope that it complicates their notions of the region as well. But then my hopeful readership, I suppose, is for those outside of Appalachia who think they know what we are, To just add another inconvenient piece to the puzzle that doesn't allow us to think the way we always did.